Welcome to Grand Rapids Daily. Before we get to any of today's news, we need to open with a severe weather alert for the area.
That is correct. The National Weather Service in Grand Rapids is currently monitoring a system bringing heavy rain and a low to moderate risk of severe weather to Southwest Michigan. If you are commuting on Tuesday morning, you need to be prepared for significant impacts. Forecasts show a 100% chance of rain starting at 3 a.m. and continuing straight through until noon. Local meteorologists report that heavy rain and potential localized flooding are the primary concerns, rather than high-intensity threats like tornadoes or large hail. Looking at current conditions downtown, it is 49 degrees and overcast, though it feels a bit cooler at 46, with an east-southeast wind at 7 miles per hour. We will see temperatures climb to a high of 69 degrees by Monday evening before the rain truly sets in. Once that system moves through, we are looking at a sharp cooling trend. Temperatures will drop back down into the low 50s by Tuesday afternoon and remain below average for the rest of the week. So take caution on the roads tomorrow and be ready for a wet and chilly couple of days.
We will continue to monitor that system. Moving to our main stories, today we are examining the complex, decades-long political legacy of a towering figure in Michigan politics who recently passed away. After that, we will look at new demographic data that confirms Grand Rapids' unique status within the national religious landscape.
We begin today with the end of an era in Michigan politics. Donald Riegel, who represented the state in Congress for nearly three decades, died on April 24, 2026. According to the Associated Press, he passed away from cardiac arrest at his home in San Diego at the age of 88.
Riegel's career was incredibly consequential and, at times, deeply controversial. He served in the U.S. House of Representatives from 1967 to 1976, and then moved to the U.S. Senate, where he served from 1976 until 1995. But what often defines the early part of his political narrative is his bold decision to switch parties in 1973, leaving the Republican Party to become a Democrat.
That party switch was driven by his fierce disagreements with the Nixon administration, specifically over the handling of the Vietnam War. It is hard to overstate how massive a decision that was at the time. Party switching is rare enough, but doing it in the midst of a deeply unpopular war and the escalating Watergate scandal really cemented his reputation as a politician willing to take a stand based on personal conviction.
It certainly resonated with Michigan voters, propelling him into the Senate just a few years later. Once there, he did not just blend into the background. By the late 1980s, he had risen to become the chairman of the powerful Senate Banking Committee, serving in that leadership role from 1989 to 1995.
And that chairmanship is where his legislative legacy was truly forged, for better and for worse. On the positive side, he led the critical efforts to reform the savings and loan industry following the massive financial crisis of that era. He was deeply involved in restructuring regulations to stabilize the economy. However, you cannot discuss his time on the Banking Committee without addressing the Keating Five.
Right. The Keating Five was one of the defining political ethics scandals of the late 20th century. Riegel, along with four other senators, was investigated for improperly intervening with federal regulators on behalf of Charles Keating, who was the chairman of the Lincoln Savings and Loan Association. It was a massive national story about the intersection of campaign finance and political influence.
The details of that investigation are still studied today. Ultimately, the Senate Ethics Committee found that Riegel broke no laws, and he was never charged with any crime. However, they did conclude that his conduct gave the, quote, appearance of being improper. That specific phrasing was incredibly damaging. Even without criminal wrongdoing, the public perception took a massive hit, and it essentially overshadowed a lot of his actual legislative accomplishments. It was certainly a major factor in his decision not to seek re-election in 1994. Yet, despite the shadow of the Keating Five, his defenders point to a very robust record of constituent service. Following his death, his family released a statement describing him as the cornerstone of our family. They remembered him as a kind, loving, and courageous leader who taught them to stand up for justice, economic opportunity, and fairness for everyone.
When you look at his broader record, you do see a senator who was very actively engaged with the specific needs of working-class Michiganders. It is a complex legacy to untangle, balancing his reputation as an advocate for veterans and economic fairness against the ethical controversies that marked his final years in Washington. For our second deep dive, we are looking at some demographic data that puts hard numbers to a cultural hallmark of West Michigan. A recent forum hosted by the Anton Williams Holding Company and GMNF Missions Forum highlighted that the Grand Rapids metropolitan area officially leads the United States in its percentage of adherence to the Reformed Christian tradition.
This conclusion is based on an extensive analysis of the 2020 religion census data compiled by the Association of Statisticians of American Religious Bodies, or ASARB. It is always interesting when empirical data backs up what locals have intuitively known for decades. Grand Rapids has historically been a massive center for Reformed Protestantism, heavily influenced by waves of Dutch immigration in the 19th and 20th centuries.
The ASARB data collection is incredibly thorough, gathering statistics from hundreds of religious groups to create a comprehensive U.S. religion census. What the 2020 data shows is that even as the national religious landscape becomes more secular or shifts toward non-denominational megachurches, Grand Rapids remains a distinct, concentrated stronghold for this specific theological tradition.
You see the infrastructure of that tradition everywhere in the city. Grand Rapids serves as the national headquarters for several major denominations, most notably the Christian Reformed Church in North America, the CRC, and the Reformed Church in America, the RCA. Beyond just the physical church buildings, this concentration has led to the establishment of numerous institutions, colleges, and seminaries right here in our backyard.
That institutional presence is a huge part of why the demographic numbers remain so high. It creates an ecosystem where the Reformed tradition influences local education, business practices, and philanthropy. But the discussion at the Anton Williams and GMNF Missions Forum also raised some interesting methodological questions about how we measure this today.
Exactly. One major question is how researchers define a Reformed adherent in these census reports. Does that definition account for the wide variety of modern congregations that might hold Calvinist theology, but do not formally affiliate with the CRC or RCA? The umbrella of the Reformed tradition is quite broad, and the religious landscape is fluid. Even strictly looking at denominational affiliation, the statistical dominance is striking. In Grand Rapids, this demographic reality inevitably shapes the cultural and political landscape. The Reformed emphasis on cultural engagement means that these adherents are often very active in civic life, viewing participation in local government and social services as an extension of their faith. So when a report like this comes out, it is not just religious trivia. It is a fundamental key to understanding why Grand Rapids operates the way it does and why certain community values are prioritized. It will be fascinating to see if this demographic hold maintains its strength when the 2030 census data rolls around, or if broader national trends will eventually dilute that concentration.
All right, let's hit a couple more stories real quick before we wrap up for the day.
Sounds good. What's first?
We want to note the passing of a longtime local business owner. George Van Antwerp of Byron Center passed away on April 10th at the age of 91. It's always important to recognize the folks who quietly helped build the everyday infrastructure of our local communities. And touching back briefly on the passing of Donald Regal, Odyssey published a retrospective highlighting that his tenure represented Michigan in Congress under 7 different presidents.
It really puts his longevity into perspective. They also detailed his strong opposition to NAFTA and his vocal advocacy for the treatment of Gulf War syndrome, which are crucial parts of his legislative footprint beyond the controversies.
That is going to do it for today's edition of Grand Rapids Daily. Thank you for tuning in.
Please stay safe out there with that severe weather rolling in tomorrow morning. We will catch you back here next time.